You need to take your little registration card and pass it to one end or another. I thought I had it figured out before I walked up here. But, okay, you guys pass this way, you guys pass this way, you guys pass that way. And someone will pick them up. There they are now, the picker-uppers of the cards. Are you passing? I see no passing. Oh, they're filling, you haven't filled them out yet. Okay, if you're still filling them out, then you can put them on the table as you leave tonight. You also need one of these books. This is your homework book for this study on faith. You can pick it up in the back. We are, as it says on the front, going to study the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is pretty much just what I need at this point in my life. In fact, even after all this time, it seems like I need more faith now than I ever had. It seems that the world is crazier and people are wackier and there's more needs and the country is in deep trouble and there's problems and situations in my life that I can't seem to figure out. And I need more faith in order to even get through the day, it seems to me. And I hope you're right there with me. And there is a way to make your faith grow and to increase it. And one of the ways is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by what? The Word of God. So we're going to hear from the Word of God about faith in this chapter, and it is going to cause our faith to grow and increase. And I definitely need more in my life. I want to be on somebody's list as I read through this list and in chapter 11. I want to be in somebody's chapter about faith. I want to be known as a woman of faith, and I think that I would more likely be known as a woman of doubt on some of my days than I would as a woman of faith. But faith enables us to understand what God does. It enables us to see what others cannot see, to see the invisible. And as a result, faith enables us to do what others cannot do. Faith is so necessary in our Christian experience, in our walk with the Lord. It is beyond compare. I need my faith to be deeper and stronger at this point in my life. I have friends dying of cancer, grieving over unbelievable loss. I have people in situations that seem to have no resolution. And I need faith in order to help them and to get them through it. And I am a woman who is prone to doubt. Anybody else prone to doubt? Thank you very much, all of you who are prone to doubt. And then when I get where I am doubting, it leads me to despair. And then I am full of despair. And there really is no reason for me, as a woman of God, as a woman who names the name of Christ, to ever allow myself to doubt or to be in despair, because I can have faith, and it isn't really about my faith. It is about in whom I put my faith that is the important thing. But I do need more. Faith is it's an all-important component of our Christian life, of our relationship with Jesus. It was faith that saved me. Faith is the guiding principle of our lives as Christians. I have a list, two or three pages, just of the scriptures that there are on faith. These lights are, much better. And there's zillions, but I've chosen just a few. We are to increase it, as I said. We are to live by it. Romans 1, 16 and 17, the just shall live by faith. That was also a passage in Habakkuk that we studied at some length when we did the book of Habakkuk. We're to grow in it. We're to stand fast in it. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, 13, we're to stand in it. We're to live by it. In Galatians 2:20, I'm sure you know some of these verses. Ephesians 2:8 says that we are saved through that faith. We are to fight with it. In Ephesians 6:13, we're to wear it as our armor. We're to be known for it. In Colossians, people should be able to look at us as Paul looked at the church in Colossae and say, "You are known by your faith." They should look at us as women and know that we are known by our faith. They should see it in us. We're to fight with it. We're to keep it until the end. We're to hold fast to it. We're to stand in it. We just sang that song. We're to increase in it. All these scriptures about faith remind us of how important it is in our lives. And not only is it important that we have it, it does important things to us. It tries us. It keeps us. Faith works within us. And we are to build ourselves up in it. And that's where we are going with this study. We are going to build ourselves up in our faith by looking at these men and women of faith in this 11th chapter. And that's why we chose it, because I see such a need for it in the body of Christ. I need such a, see such a need for it in my own life. And this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews is well known. It's called the Hall of Faith, kind of a play on the words, the Hall of Fame, because these are men and women of the Old Testament who were famous for their faith. They were known for their faith. Before each one of their names, almost all of them, it says, by faith they did this, by faith they knew this, by faith they accomplished this, by faith they walked this way. But I think it will help in our understanding of this chapter if you know a little bit about what comes before it, a little bit about the book of Hebrews, because the entire book is really a book about faith. The word faith is in the book of Hebrews 33 times, the word faithful 6 times. It is Paul writing to the Hebrews, thus the name, the book of Hebrews, writing to the Jewish believers in Israel, because they were suffering, as some of you may be suffering, they were suffering from discouragement. These men and women had been practicing Jews in Israel. They had kept the commandments. They had celebrated the Jewish holidays. They had gone to temple. They had put their faith then in the sacrifice at the temple for the atoning of their sins, where there would be a sacrifice and the priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and he would bring the sacrifice in there, and it was there that their sins were forgiven. They had lived that, they had understood it, they had been really serious practicing Jews. And then, miraculously, a group of them came to understand that there had been one sacrifice, once and for all their sins, and that was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross for them, the Messiah. And this long-awaited-for, prophesied Messiah had come and had become their Savior. And to a multitude of Jews, they did not see that or understand that or believe that. This was a select few. And the ruling body of Judaism in the nation of Israel were so upset that they had left their Judaism and had become Christians. But these Jews, they wanted to still celebrate all that they could within the temple. They wanted to live their lives as they had lived them before, because they felt that their belief in Christ just now enriched what they experienced as Jews. But the ruling hierarchy in Israel would not allow them to do that. And they kicked them out of the temple. They were not allowed to come. Broke their hearts, made them feel disenfranchised, disowned by their own people. But not only did they kick them out of the temple and the temple worship, where they were trying to share their faith, they also began to seriously persecute them. And they feared for their lives. They feared for their livelihoods, because much of their livelihood was dependent on the Jewish culture. And they are, as Paul writes to them, they are feeling tempted to go back to their Jewish faith and to abandon their faith in Christ. That is where they were going. That's how discouraged and frightened that they were. So Paul writes to them the entire book of Hebrews, this letter to them, telling them not to give up. And he tells them in the very last verse of the 10th chapter, he says, "You have need of endurance. We are those who live by faith and do not shrink back." You need to press on. You need to endure. You need to take this newfound faith in the Messiah and live by it and not shrink back. And I think that that is also a call for you and I to do, to run this race with endurance, to live out our faith, to not shrink back from the things that we know. And maybe you might be just as fearful of the world around you, which is in opposition to what you believe, as the Jews were to the hierarchy within their religion. You're afraid to share your faith. You're afraid of persecution. You're afraid of not fitting in. You're afraid of not being liked. You're afraid to open your mouth and share who Jesus is. And we need to come to a place where we are going to just press on, where we are going to endure, where we're not going to shrink back, because the world needs to hear about what we have. And it may not appear that they are open to it, or they are friendly to it, or they will accept it. But you and I have the answer. I've not been right about a lot of things in my life, but this one thing I know without any question, I am right about. I have faith in a God who saves. And I need to learn to be bold and to step out and to share people. So if you'll open with me in chapter 11, we'll just briefly look at the first couple of verses tonight. We won't really get into the characters that are listed in this chapter as of yet. Okay, the light is just impossible. I need like someone to just stand here with a... I need like an overhead light or something. Or maybe it's my old eyes. Don't laugh at my old eyes. In chapter 11, verse 1, Paul makes this statement. Now, faith is the substance of things... No, wait a minute. Hoped for. I actually know this verse by heart, but I'm so busy trying to figure it out. And the evidence of things not seen. Now, some say this is a definition, but this is really not a definition. This is an explanation of what faith is, of what it is like. And Paul begins this chapter by giving them an explanation of what faith is. Then he's going to move on, and he's going to give them all these examples of these patriarchs, these men and women of the Old Testament. And notice he only mentions the Old Testament, although he could have written 10 chapters on those in the New Testament who lived by faith. But he is doing that because he's trying to relate to these Jewish men and women. These are your patriarchs. These are your heroes. And they lived by this same faith that you now have. So he starts with an explanation. He moves on with the examples. And then he concludes, as we get to the end of this chapter, he will conclude it with an exhortation to live our lives in faith, to press on, to move forward. Kind of ends the chapter the very beginning of it, with how he ended the chapter 10 before he got into this list. Now, this chapter has this well-known explanation of what faith is. And still, when I read it, I find it a little bit confusing. Do you? Faith, I think, can be a little bit confusing. You know why? Because it is supernatural. It is not anything that you and I can hold on to or grasp onto. I believe in the unseen. I hope for things that have not yet occurred yet. I was talking to someone I know who's an avowed atheist, and he was giving me all these facts and all the evolutionary facts and all this. He had so much information. He's so much smarter than I am. He knew things I didn't even know, didn't even want to know. But he left out the element of faith. And because he doesn't understand or believe, he only wants the facts. And the facts are great, but I really want to know about this thing called faith. I want to live in the supernatural. I want to be ruled by the supernatural. And that is the element that is left out of those who do not believe. They don't understand that there is a supernatural world. There is a spirit world going on that they don't see. There is a God that they can't see. Faith is, I love it, that those first two words in the very first chapter, because just that faith is almost enough to get me really excited. Faith is. Those words just minister to me. Faith is. It exists. It's real. There is this unseen, supernatural world that exists. It is. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's what he says faith is. Now, it might help you to understand just a little bit what some of these words mean. The word substance in the Greek, hypostasis, is composed of two words. The first, stasis, which means to stand, and the word hupo, which means under. So what he is saying is that faith is the substance. It is the foundation. We can stand upon it. It is strong. It is the substance, the foundation. It's a legal term. It means, like if you had a deed on your house, that legal document would mean that you owned that house. Faith is the substance. It is the legal document of things hoped for. It has substance. And it is the evidence. And that word, eleklos, in the Greek means a proof, that which has been proved and tested. So it has been proved and tested, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, how can you have evidence of, which is something that could be seen, of something that is not seen? How can you have substance to something that is only hoped for? But that is what faith is. It is this strange, mysterious, supernatural thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then he goes on to say that by faith, here is how it works. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were seen were not made of things which are visible. We look at creation, and we understand according to the book of Genesis, and the Jews would have known the story of creation, that God spoke out of nothing, out of the invisible, God spoke and made the world visible. That is was done by faith. By faith, we understand that. I understand what God did in creation. He took nothing and made something out of it. He took the invisible and made it visible. Now Paul brings into this chapter all the patriarchs of the Jewish religion. He goes to the times before the flood, from the times of the patriarch to the times of Moses, the times after Moses, the people who lived by faith, persevering to the end of their course, even though they didn't have some of the advantages that you and I have as Christians. I mean, think about that. These men and women become our examples of faith, even though they did not ever see or know the Messiah. They lived on the promise of that. And that faith in that promise made them able to accomplish great things for God. These were people who were famous for their faith. It's an impressive list, don't you think? I can't compare, do you think? But wait, because if you were to really look at these people, there is in this list a drunk. I mean, I love the story of Noah. Is there any Sunday school room anywhere in the country that does not have Noah on the ark with his wife? Noah, you color it in, you take it home. Have you ever seen a coloring page from Sunday school that has Noah that says, "Hi, my name is Noah, I'm drunk and naked in this picture"? That is never shown. Thank God our kids don't see that. But that is the truth of Noah. In the next chapter, he was drunk and naked. So, I mean, I've never been drunk or naked that I can remember, but still, that, or that I would tell you about, but that gives me hope. How about Abraham, who was a liar? He was the great patriarch. Abraham was a liar. He was so fearful, traveling, that the king was going to take his wife, that he lied and said it was his sister. He was a liar. He jeopardized his seed, which was going to populate the promised land. He jeopardized his wife's safety. He jeopardized his wife's body, that this king was going to... He was a liar. Well, he wasn't a liar, just like Noah was really not a drunk. He did just get drunk on that one occasion, as far as we know. But Abraham lied, not once, but actually twice, the same lie. How about Jacob? He was a deceiver. How about Joseph? I'm sorry, there's a part of Joseph's life where he was proud and boastful to the point that he drove his brothers crazy, and they put him in a hole in the ground. Walking around with his coat his dad had given him. I mean, come on, if you really read the story, he could have handled himself completely different at that time, but he didn't. He was boastful. Moses, he was a murderer. He was a murderer. Rahab, a prostitute. David, an adulterer and a murderer. Samson, so many issues with Samson. I don't even want to get into that. That's going to be a great study to do. And yet, these are those listed in this chapter of faith, in this hall of faith. Doesn't that just give you hope? And do you know they are listed as being men and women of faith, and their sins and their failings and their shortcomings are not listed. I mean, Scripture doesn't spare us any details about their lives as we read through them in the Old Testament. But by the time we get to chapter 11 of Hebrews, they're looking pretty good. They are. They are looking pretty good, and they are known and talked about because of their faith. And that gives me hope. In spite of my failings and my fallings apart and my doubt and my despair and my mistakes, all of those things, I can still be known as a woman of faith. And if these men and women of the Old Testament who had not ever seen the Messiah, who did not even really begin to understand the crucifixion or the resurrection, who did not have at their disposal, as you and I do, this New Testament Word of God, where Jesus, the Messiah, actually speaks and teaches and prays for you and I, and goes to the cross and dies and raises from the dead and comes back and instructs those. They didn't have this, and we do. We have the full counsel of God. I know the end of the story. It says in this chapter that they were looking for a city. They were traveling and looking and searching for a city that was out without walls, a city that they didn't know, almost an invisible place. They had faith that someday they would actually end up in what they understood was to be heaven. But we have a Savior who actually came and said, I've got to go away, but I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, you will be also. We have all that information. We have so much more. We are so incredibly rich in the things of God. Our faith should just explode out of our lives onto everybody else. There should be nothing that we doubt, nothing that we worry about. And it is not because of the excellence of our faith. It is because of the faithful one. And I can take my flimsy, failing, faltering, fragile faith that I have, and I can rest it upon my God, because my faith is not in a political system, it's not in the country, it's not in my church, it's not in any of you, it's not in my husband. My faith is in a person. It is in the person of Jesus Christ, and my faith is in my God who never fails. He never fails. My God who never fails, who can only do good, who is working all things for my good, who never leaves me, who will never forsake me, who loves me for some strange, unbelievable reason, and even likes me. He likes me. He likes to spend time with me. That is who my faith is in. And when I stand and look at who he is and what he is like and what he has done, I want more than ever, more than anything, to be known as a woman of faith in this God, because my faith and your faith should point others to our faithful God and to who he is. And if these men and women can be known and can be written about and can be remembered as men and women of faith listed in this well-known, famous chapter, then certainly you and I can be known for so much more. I want to live in this faith I have. I want to walk in it. I want to display it more than I ever have before. I really think that that's what, at this point in my life, that seems to be what God is calling me to. Pulling out props, pulling out things I depended on before, pulling out what I thought my life would be like, where we would be at this point in time, all those things, and just asking me just to be a woman of faith, a woman of faith in Him. And that is the whole key. It is in Him that we place this. So do your homework. The homework we, Bethany found on the internet, which was a blessing because I didn't have to write it, and I'm not very good at writing homework, as you probably noticed over the years. But we thought that this homework was really quite good. There's some depth to it, but you can do it fast and you can do it easily. And yet I really think it will begin to minister to you. There is, I want to alert you, we haven't done this in a long time, but there is homework for each day. There's 5 days of homework a week. Don't wait till the fifth day to do all 5 days. Because you know what, you're going to go, oh, I'm so behind. Oh, I'm not going to do it. And then you come and you sit in your small group and you pretend you forgot your book and you don't want anybody to see it because you didn't answer the questions. Faith grows by what? By the Word of God. And you need to be in it. We want our faith to grow. When we're done with this study, we want to be able to stand here and say, I have more faith than I've ever had before. And that is only going to happen if you are in God's Word. Faith is given as a gift. There's a measure of faith given to each one of us. And I love that word measure because it does seem that I know people who got a bigger measure than I did. I'm married to a man who got a bigger measure of faith than I did. And he'll come up with an idea, or what I like to call a scheme, of what he's going to do or where we're going to go, he's going to go or what he's going to. And I am Miss Negativity. That will never happen. He just has a bigger measure of faith than I do. But I am responsible for the measure of faith that God gave me. And I can take that measure of faith and I can make it grow. God's going to test it. He's going to try it. It's going to go through the fire. And it's going to come out like gold because it is in Him and not in anything else. Charles Spurgeon has a little saying that I know I've said before that I absolutely love it. I love the sound of it. He says, faith, however slender, saves the soul. However slender. And it's like God takes that slender thread of faith that I had when I first believed, and He just wraps His entire self around it. And it becomes something quite wonderful, quite usable, as He encompasses it with Himself, with His character. Faith. I hope that you will continue on this journey with me. I hope that you will go home tonight. You will be so excited that you will open up your homework. You'll open up Hebrews 11. You'll look at all those names and you will realize, I could be in there. I should be in there. I'm going to be in there. And we'll make a list at the end of who gets to be in. I'm writing a chapter. Who gets to be in it. Pray with me, please. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are a faithful God. I thank you that you've given each of us sitting here this measure of faith. And no matter how enormous or how tiny and small it is, Lord, I know that you can take it and you can wrap yourself around it and you can make it something that just works mighty wonders in your name. Lord, we want to be known as these men and women in chapter 11 are known. We want to be known by our faith. We want to be known by our faith in you. We want to have faith that you will accomplish great things with us. We want to have faith that within this room, in our time together, you will do wondrous, miraculous things. We want to see our prayers answered. We want to see our prodigals come home. We want to see marriages healed. We want to see you do great and mighty things. Give us the faith, Lord, that is what would happen. Don't let this time just be, oh, here we are, it's October, we're back to Bible study, and what are we doing this year? Just break our hearts open, Lord, and fill it with yourself. Cause us to just look to you and to count on you and to read about you and to learn of you and to grow in you so that we can show you to the world, Lord. take this little bit of faith that we start here tonight with and just begin to increase it. May it just explode out of our lives. May we see and hear you do things that we never dreamed that you would do. That faith that it is the substance of things hoped for, and we do hope for things in this room tonight. We want the evidence of the things not seen, Lord. We want to see and hear and know you as never before. I ask you to do mighty things, Lord. Start here, start tonight. We open ourselves up to you. We place ourselves in your hands. Teach us, change us, guide us, try us, fill us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you have any questions?